Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Shalom once again. Blog Talk Radio. Who are Israelites? Abide in Christ. This is Brother Azariah Nathan, and I got on the line with me Brother Parim.
Shalom.
All right.
Happy
and
Shabbat.
Today's topic, happy Shabbat. Yeah, that's right. It's the Sabbath. Today's show, we're going to talk about, Brother Parim, is symbolism in the Bible and how it's used.
Right, because,
we're going to mention about the mark of the beast also within this conversation. But what are you going to start out with?
Yeah, because
it
was my experience with the scripture, my brother. I see symbolism is very important in the Bible. That's the main doctrine in the Bible about symbolism, because symbolism is used all over the Bible. And, for example, the book of Revelation take a lot of symbol from the Old Testament, you see. And we have to follow the pattern. That's why a lot of false breakdown is coming up by a different Israelite group and these different churches, because they're not using the Old Testament symbol to understand what the New Testament is talking about. And John Everly,
like you were saying, they try to force, like they're trying to force the prophecy into a scripture, or you know, that's what we were talking about earlier. They're trying to make or speculate on a prophecy and trying to force it into the scripture, but it doesn't match. Right.
By using that, by applying the symbol the wrong way.
Right.
Yeah, but I want to read one scripture first. 2 Peter 1 and 20 to 21. I want you to read that scripture for me, bro. Yeah.
2 Peter.
Because it's a very important doctrine. People don't know how important this understanding is, that you have to use symbol. God don't use a symbol that his people or the prophet don't understand. It's a pattern. God is not the author of confusion.
Right.
God would bring up no new symbol to John that John don't understand, or the Israelites in the seventh church don't understand. So you want to read that for me real quick, and we can explain that.
Yeah, 2 Peter 1 and 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Right.
For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Right, so the symbol in the Bible is not no one private interpretation. The Bible interprets its own symbol.
Right.
And it's all over the scripture that the Bible interprets its own symbol. And, for example, the mark of the beast, right? I think it's in Revelation 13. You have a lot of brothers say the mark is a chips. And it's not a chips, because when you go back to the Old Testament symbol, and how the mark is used and the beast is used, it cannot be talking about the chips, because the mark is talking about the knowledge in Ezekiel 9, I think 9 and 4. It's talking about the knowledge of the Most High, the righteousness of the Most High, keeping the law, statute, and commandment. So
set a mark on the foreheads of them that sigh and cry, right?
And the beast is in Daniel 7 chapter. It tells you about the beast, the four kingdom, satanic kingdom that's against God, who's going to rule the earth.
Right.
That's how we have to understand what it's talking about. We cannot force the scripture and say, oh, because it's a mark and it's a beast, it's talking about the chips. It's not talking about the chips. That's the wrong breakdown of the symbol. Because the mark is a symbol and the beast is a symbol. So you have to have use scripture to interpret the scripture, right?
That's right. Because it all links up. It all goes together. It all goes together. One reference back to the other. I mean, like you mentioned, John the Revelator, he had an understanding of the Old Testament, and Christ expounded on the Old Testament, all the prophecies about him to the apostles. So for the angel to show John what was going to happen, he had the angel reference back to Old Testament symbols.
They have to refer back to it. Right, because remember that they were writing, John was writing to the seven churches. And if John came up with a different symbol that they don't understand, the church would be confused.
Right.
So the churches, the seven churches, it was Israelite. It was well versed in the Old Testament how God used symbol in the Old Testament.
Right.
It was well well versed in that. And I also want to show an example quick, and I think it's in Ezekiel 29. I'm going to show you how Ezekiel 29, how these symbols are used. Ezekiel 29 and start up the first verse. You know what I mean?
All right. In the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 20th day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which has said, my river is mine own.
Okay, so when we read the Revelation, the 12th chapter, right, it speaks about a great red dragon. But you have to know how the word dragon is used in the Old Testament. The word great dragon, it says the great red dragon in Revelation 12 chapters. So you have to know how the word dragon is used in the Old Testament, because that's where the symbol came from. I'm just reading to you where the symbol came from. So God was calling Pharaoh and the Egyptian great red dragon, because when you read down, it tells you that, read the fourth verse.
Verse 4, but I will put hooks in thy jaws, and I will cause the fish of thy rivers to stick unto thy scales. And I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of thy rivers shall stick unto thy scales. And I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy rivers. Thou shalt fall upon the open fields. Thou shalt not be brought together, nor gathered. I have given thee for meat to the beasts of the field and to the fowls of heaven.
Sixth verse.
And all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel.
So God in those chapters there, God is calling the Egyptian Pharaoh and the Egyptian inhabitant great red dragon. Great dragon. But in Revelation the 12th chapter, when you read Revelation the 12th chapter, right? Because that symbol, right? That symbol, Revelation 12. And 12 and verse.
Hello, Parham. Yeah, I didn't hear your phone cut out there. Repeat that last part, what you said.
No, it said here in the third verse, Revelation 12 and 3. And there appeared another one in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. So that term, great dragon, was taken from, I just read it in Ezekiel, right? But the red is put there because it's talking about Esau. It's talking about a white man.
Right. And his whole
setup.
See
where I'm coming from, right?
And his military and all that.
Right. So that symbol is taken from the Old Testament. And there's other scripture that I think God called the Babylonian Empire a dragon.
Yep.
So those symbols are saying from the Old Testament. So we have to go along what the symbols say in the Old Testament to understand what the New Testament symbol is talking about and what it's talking about. But a lot of brothers try to force a certain interpretation in certain scriptures. That's why you come up with these false interpretation.
Right,
you know what I mean?
If I may mention about going back to Ezekiel, I mean, back then the Lord was representing Egypt as a dragon because they were so powerful at the time. Even at this time, they were powerful and they had a strong military. And what was happening was Israel was depending on Egypt. That's why the prophecy says, woe unto them which go down into Egypt. Because they were dependent on the protection of Pharaoh and looking at the power that Pharaoh had. But that's why God compared him to a dragon. And he said, when he pulled him up out of the river, all the fish going to stick to his scales. I mean, all the people that's dependent on Pharaoh, they're going to fall. They're going to be given as meat to the beasts of the field. So they were going to be drawn out of Egypt and destroyed by who? The Babylonians. Because the Babylonians were getting ready to come down and conquer Israel, conquer Judah, and go into Egypt also. They expanded into Egypt and conquered Egypt also. That's why it says Pharaoh is like a reed unto a reed is like a staff, something you lean on. You know, Pharaoh was compared to that also because Israel was dependent on the protection of Egypt. But they, but God was letting the prophet know to tell him, listen, don't depend on Pharaoh and Egypt because like that reed, you lean on the reed, it's going to pierce through your hand. You're going to die with that. You're going to die with the Egyptians. So, yeah, the symbolism is clear right there. You can see and that prophecy did happen. That's an intimate prophecy right there, too. It did happen. And you could compare it now today with our people depending on America and on this system and on this dragon today, this modern-day dragon, which is Babylon the Great, and this whole system and this whole setup. That's a dragon in Revelation, right?
Right. That's beautifully explained, right? So we're going to use another symbol that they use. We're going to use the mark because they use the mark. It's Revelation 13 and 16. It said here, and he caused all, both small and great and rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand on their forehead. So we have to find out where did John Revelator get a term mark from. It's Ezekiel 9, I think Ezekiel 9 and 4, right?
Right. Right, set a mark upon them that sigh and cry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let me try to get it quick.
No, I'm gonna find it for you.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 9:4 it says, and the Lord said unto him, go throughout the midst of the city, throughout the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.
Right. So that knowledge is law, statute, and commandment, right?
Yeah.
So if you ain't got the mark of God, so you have the mark of Satan. So the mark cannot be a chips.
Right.
Because the symbol don't interpret as a chips. And beast, when I go into Daniel, I think Daniel 12 chapter, because it say the mark of the beast. Let's go and find out where the symbol comes from, the beast symbol comes from. It comes from Daniel, I think, 7.
Right. Hold on.
7.
Let me get it for you.
You said about the,
Where what verse you want to read from?
I think the third verse.
Third verse.
I think the
there,
third
verse.
Four
great beasts. Four great beasts. That's the third verse. Four great beasts. It says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another.
Right.
A beast again.
So that's where
beast.
Right. So that's where you get the term beast from.
Right.
That's how John Revelator used the symbol mark.
Can I read Daniel 7 and 17? Because it tells you directly.
Yeah.
It says, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. So that lets you clearly know the beast is a symbol of a man. It is representing a kingdom. Four kings.
Yeah, kingdom. Yeah.
At that particular time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why wouldn't Revelation be representing kingdoms and rulerships and a system. And like we were discussing in another conversation, Brother Parham, the chip does not determine whether you do evil or good. The chip doesn't make you do evil or good.
No, it don't. It don't.
Brothers be walking around talking about, I ain't going to let nobody put no chip in me and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you could try to prevent that as best as you can. And there's no reason that you should accept taking the chip, you know what I mean?
Right.
But if you have
the
mindset that you want to go accept the chip and you want to be tracked and traced, then you have the mindset, which is really the mark, is the mindset that you trust and believe in this in the system and that it's actually democratic in the true sense of the word, and you believe that the system works.
Right.
So then
the
you do have the
just,
mark of the beast if you believe in it, if you know.
Right, and the chips is just part of the wire, the beast technology, the beast system
technology.
That he uses to deceive the world.
Exactly.
Right, he uses technology, he uses TV, his technology to deceive the world, and his doctrine too. So the mark of the beast, it could not be chips according to the symbol, how the symbol is used in the Old Testament.
Right. Yeah,
because the symbol in the
thing...
Old Testament, because God used a lot of symbol in the Hebrews. He used a lion as a symbol. Christ is a lion of the tribe of Judah. You know what I mean?
Right.
He used different symbols. He used a sheep as a symbol of Israel in the Bible. In the New Testament, we read about sheep talking about Israel. And he used mountain as a symbol of nation in the Bible. And when you read in the New Testament, it's still talking about mountain. So the symbol in the scripture interprets its own self.
That's right.
Its own self. It interprets its own self. Like your brother saying Satan gets cast out of heaven. The reason why they think that, because linking up the scripture in the Old Testament to see how the word Satan is used or the word heaven is used.
Right.
Heaven can have different meaning. It can mean the sky itself, and it can mean a setup that exalts himself,
a kingdom,
a nation that exalts himself.
Yeah.
A kingdom.
Yeah.
So these brothers, they're not using the symbol according to how the Bible uses it. It's a pattern. God don't change his pattern. If God called Israel a sheep, he's going to use a pattern in the New Testament and still call them a sheep.
Right, exactly.
And if he called Israel leader a shepherd, he's still going to use that symbol in the New Testament and call him a shepherd.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You know what, Brother Upon, you know what I noticed with the Bible and the spirituality side of the Bible? It's kind of like, you know when two people are having a private conversation and you may walk up on that conversation and you may hear the conversation, but you don't really understand everything they're talking about because there's certain details that you may not have that they have.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain understanding of whatever that conversation is about. There's certain understanding that they have that you don't have because you're on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear.
Right.
You don't know the full details. So you can interpret that conversation any which way you want based on the words that are given that you hear.
Right.
But those two people in that intimate conversation, they can say things and use symbols in that conversation. What was the definition you said?
So,
a representation of a
symbol
is a...
It says symbol, right? It said here, a method of reasoning which operates with symbol rather than word.
Dad, see, there you go. A method of reasoning which operates with symbols rather than words. So these people can even use symbols in a conversation, and it'll go completely over your head because you don't know the reference of how to interpret
how
that
the symbol.
Symbol
is used. You know what I mean?
So it goes just like that with the Bible. The Bible is a private conversation with God, and it tells you the Lord showeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. So the secret is with God within the word, and his servants are going to know that secret. But not everybody is going to know it. That's why you mentioned all these brothers talking, thinking they know what this means and what that means. No, they don't.
Right.
I'm just telling you straight up, these brothers, a lot of these guys, they don't know.
And you have to study too. You see, and to know how the symbol, God uses symbol, you have to study. You cannot go by what a man say. You have to go by what the Bible say. The symbol is a pattern. Everything is a pattern in the scripture. Everything is a pattern. The symbol is a pattern.
Yep.
And you cannot, that's why I was saying in my brother, most of Revelation, all the symbol of Revelation is make up from New Testament, Old Testament symbol.
Old Testament, right.
John and the angel was showing John a reference from the Old Testament because all the prophecy is written in the Old Testament already.
Right.
The angel was updating John on what these symbols mean in our time.
Right. So people can understand what you're saying. The prophecies in Revelation are referenced in Daniel and Ezekiel, are they not?
Yeah. Ezekiel, Daniel, and you see what happened? The Old Testament prophecy is scattered all over the Old Testament in symbol and different wording.
Yeah.
What John did, what the angel did, the angel showed John in chronological order.
Right.
Because
the
prophecy is scattered over the Old Testament. Revelation is in chronological order that we could understand what's going on. Because if we try to pick out these prophecies from the Old Testament, we'll get confused, man.
Yeah. You'll get confused.
You get confused.
Go ahead.
Finish what you're saying.
No, what I was going to add to that was that even the dragon, again, there's other references about Leviathan. You know, Leviathan is a dragon.
It's the same
word. Describes him in the book of Job.
And
there is actually a creation of God that is called Leviathan. But also that word Leviathan can be used to represent the nations also and their power.
True.
It can be used to represent them too.
True, you're right.
Because that's a dragon also.
Right.
So,
you're right.
You know, you have to know, you got to know the Bible. You got to read the whole the whole book, and you have to know these references how to go back to
it. And when you study the word dragon, how it's used, or the word beast, it's always talking about
beast,
nations
right.
that oppose God, people, and oppose God. That's why they call dragon and beast.
Right.
Because these nations, the Babylonian, the Persian, the Medes, the Greek, and the Roman, these nations oppose God. Esau is the ultimate one that opposed God.
Right.
That's
why
I call a great red dragon.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah,
and
because in the Old Testament,
yeah.
it was always, the dragons was always representing the power rulership, the rulership, the structure of the rulership at the time.
It
makes perfect sense for John the Baptist to get the same symbol. It makes perfect sense.
Because at that time you had the
Roman Empire, who was ruling Rome? Esau, which is red in the Bible. He's described as red. In the Bible. That's why I said the great red dragon.
Red
so
dragon.
It tells you clearly.
God
used the symbol of the dragon, but he added a detail to it. He said a red dragon. Yo, this is heavy, because prior to the Roman and the Greek and the Roman Empire, prior to that, it was all dark nations that was ruling. That had the power and rulership structure. So God had to make a difference. He made a subtle difference in this particular dragon was going to be different from the rest of the dragons that ruled before.
Right.
He was going to be red.
All of them were dragons. Nebuchadnezzar was a dragon. The Persian and the Medes, the Greek.
Yeah.
But the Roman one was extremely. There's a prophecy saying he was going to stamp the residue of the people and conquer the old earth.
Daniel.
That's what they did.
That's what they did, Daniel.
That's right. You know what I mean?
That's right. Daniel prophesied it, and John the Revelator got confirmation of that prophecy and future prophecy.
Right.
About that same red dragon.
Isaiah, you'd be surprised how a lot of brothers don't understand that John was quoting, all of John's quotation and symbol came from the Old Testament. The only new thing I think John, the angel revealed to John, is the height and the length of the holy city, Jerusalem. That's the only new thing.
Yeah,
of the kingdom.
Yeah.
But
everything
that John received from the angels, it was written in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
The symbol, everything, wording, everything. Yeah. I did a research in that.
Yeah.
And Revelation is like the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniel.
Right.
Right.
It just got a few upgrades, because at the end of Christ, when Christ died and then raised from the dead, and then the whole teaching of the gospel went out, there was way more time to go on in this rulership that we're in now, because America is an extension of the Roman Empire. Everyone knows that. There were certain prophecies in Revelation that was going to tell you about the future.
Right.
Babylon the great red dragon. It was going to tell you about that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when John was writing these letters to these Israelites, the seven churches, they know the symbol that John was using. You can read. They know the symbol
they know
that John
about
was
it.
Using. They didn't say, we don't want it. No. They was using, John was using Old Testament symbol, even the river, the tree of life, all that from the Old Testament.
Yep.
Christ is from the line of the tribe of Judah. That's all in the Old Testament.
Yep.
So, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of symbol that John used, he take from the Old Testament. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
brother,
the tree of life
and
the way of...
Right, the tree of life.
That's in Genesis. Talks about that in Genesis.
Right.
Yeah.
And New Jerusalem, it speaks about it in Isaiah. You know what I mean? It tells about the new holy city, Jerusalem. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it tells you about the court of the Gentiles. It tells you all that, man. It tells you all that.
Right.
So, brother, I think a lot of brothers need to be taught and how to use symbols. A lot of brothers need to be taught that.
Yeah.
How a symbol is used in the Bible.
Their interpretation. See, a lot of them giving a private interpretation.
Right.
Trying to give meaning to these prophecies that they're reading in the Old Testament and trying to apply them to events that are happening today. And when
you actually listen to the Esau too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
and
yeah,
and
yeah. They listen to what
teaching,
yeah.
Because Satan gets tired of heaven. Esau teach that, and the chips. Esau.
Yeah.
They, a lot
the
of these brethren, they get the teaching from Esau. They've been influenced or been brainwashed by what Esau. You know what I mean? What Esau said, because it, the chips. That's a brain. I hear a lot of brother that's been in the night for years teaching that the chips is a mark of the beast.
Yeah. I've heard that for years too, and people still believe in that. And but there's no way it's listen. Let's just be realistic. A lot of time when these brothers give believe in that type of stuff, they're giving the establishment too much credit. Okay, because impossible. It is impossible to put a chip in every single human being on this planet. It's just not going to happen.
It's not
going to happen. If you try to force people to do it, you're going to have a damn war on your hands, because people are going to protest and they're not going to, you know, listen. It's not going to happen.
So
man.
What about the brothers in the jungle and naked people? They're going to have to
exactly.
Them
in the Amazon. Yeah. How are you going
to
track them? How are you going to put a chip in them? I mean, I'm not saying you can't do it on a wide scale.
Yeah.
It's possible to do it on a wide
scale,
you know, because if you think about it, when a woman gives birth to a child, you know, she doesn't see that child for a certain time sometimes in the hospital.
Yeah.
They could easily implant a chip inside a baby. Every newborn baby can be implanted a chip. But, you know, if they really wanted to go that far. But they're not going to do that. Don't let if you let one person find out that there was a chip implanted in their child, trust me, that will get across, that will go viral in the news media,
and
there will be an uproar on the planet Earth. It will not happen.
Right.
It's impossible. Right. Y'all give the Illuminati, so-called Illuminati, and y'all give the white man and Esau and the establishment, the scientific, y'all give them too much credit, man. They are not that wise, man. They're not that wise. They're not that smart. Because why? Because they're not dealing with God. That's why they're not that smart. That's why nothing that they do is ever really going to work 100% like they want it to, because they're not dealing with God. They're dealing with the principalities and the powers that be on the evil side. So it's never going to work 100%.
I want to read this quick, Isaiah. Isaiah 12 and 10, it said here, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiple vision, and you, ministry of the prophet. So that I show you that the prophet, God used a prophet to use symbol to reason, to give certain understanding to our people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, man. So, you know, I mean, come on. You guys out there need to really stop teaching these funny doctrines, man, about these chips and computer chips and you're trying to scare people. Yeah, Satan getting cast out of heaven and angels coming down and having sex with men and with women and having lizard people and serpent people. Listen, I'm not going to deny any creation of God, okay? We don't know. There's so many mysteries on this planet Earth that God has yet to reveal to human beings on this Earth. So I'm not going to deny that. But some of these doctrines that you guys are getting from the establishment, you need to give up on it.
It's way off.
You need to let it go.
It's way off. It don't make no sense. It's not biblical. See, what happened, these things are not biblical, because God deals with patterns. God don't change.
He's
God of today, yesterday, and forever. If God says certain things in the scripture and he keep a pattern, God don't change his pattern.
Yep.
God deal with a pattern.
Yep.
There's a pattern that God deal with. And if you don't follow that pattern, you're not gonna present his word in the right way, man.
Right.
But
and
you know,
you're gonna
actually
distract people from the Bible.
You know what? I think a lot of these brethren do. They want to sound different from the other brother. They don't want to sound alike.
Yeah. They want to sound like they're coming up with something new. It's a new doctrine. Yeah, but you know what you're going to end up being like? The damn Epicureans, man. You're going to be like the Epicureans.
Who's the Epicureans?
That's who's
going to
start calling
you
guys, man.
Yeah,
the Epicureans. They want to hear something new, like the Greeks back in the day. They just go about wanting to hear something new all the time. So, all right, my brother Parham, this was a good show. Y'all tune in, man, and when you hear the show, spread it, repost.
We want to do one about the Mark of the Beast, man.